It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. But seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because you prayed all night, because you held on with all of your might. God, your cries have awoken the Master. He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. God, your cries have awoken the Master. You're up there worried while he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause he'll soon bring peace. Just one word from his voice, it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, thought you held on with all your might. Child, your cries have awoken. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Let your child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Well, the song says that he knows your voice. He knows your voice. I can remember probably, I don't know, I guess 3 years ago, I went for a visit, to go visit with my dad down in over in Roberta, Georgia, when he was alive. And I walked in the facility, and there was a bunch of residents kind of clustered together in the living quarters, the living area, watching TV and all. And I had a friend with me, and I said, I believe it was Ben Tidwell, and I said, watch this, Ben. And from a distance, I just yelled out his name. I said, Dad! And out of all of the people there, no doubt moms and dads that were there, only my dad turned his head around and looked at me. You want to know why that is? Because he knows my voice. He knew my voice. And what a blessing this morning that Jesus knows your voice. If you're here this morning and you're in need of help, why don't you cry out to him this morning? I want to go ahead and say that these altars are open right now. Don't wait till the end of the message. Don't even wait till you get to the end of the song service. If you feel like you need to come, even during announcements, you come. You do business with the Lord. We have congregated ourselves together for this purpose this morning, to sing praises unto him and minister in music to you, but also bring God's word to you this morning as well. And so I hope you've come for that purpose. Well, we want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church. So good to see you this morning. I want to welcome our Facebook viewers that are watching live. Thank you so much for our digital family. And appreciate that as well. I do want to remind everybody that we do live stream as well on our church webpage, www.calvaryministries.org. And we have a little miniature radio station. If you're passing through Powder Springs, you might pick it up. And the radio station dial is actually in the bulletin if you want to look that up. I can't even remember it anymore. But what's that? 8790. And so we just praise the Lord that the gospel is going forth from this pulpit into the ends of the world. Through Powder Springs, through Georgia, there are people that listen in other countries. We had a pastor in Africa, actually, during Jubilee that was listening and that listens regularly. And Indonesia. And so we are so very thankful for that. And so just be mindful that every time we come together, that we are doing a great work for the Lord, our church as a whole. And so we appreciate that. I do want to mention a couple things this morning before we pray. It's good to have my better half back with us, Christy. And she's so glad to be back this morning as well. So good to have her back. I do want you to pray, if you would, for Brother James and Sister Shirley Townsend. They're home this morning, not feeling well. Miss Claudia Darby's not feeling well. And so we have people that aren't feeling well. And, of course, I wasn't here Wednesday night. I'm back tonight. Thank you, Brother Ceylon, for bringing the lesson on Wednesday night. And it seems that everybody enjoyed that. I appreciate him doing that. And I had some wheezing. I had some things going on in my lungs. But I'm better. And so thank you for that. Well, we've got a couple birthdays this morning we've got to announce. And let me just say this. If you have a birthday and it falls on a church day, Wednesday or Sunday, we will do our best to highlight you on the big screens. And so happy birthday, Brother Don Nettles in the back. Look at you, Brother Don. You're on TV. Like it or not. Happy birthday to you. But then, Miss Sharon Hodges, happy birthday to you. You're on TV as well. I'm telling you, we're using these TVs all we can. And but happy birthday, you too. We love you, appreciate you, and your labor for the Lord here to church. What a blessing you are. Just a few upcoming events. I do want to remind all the ladies for next Sunday at 3 o'clock will be our Calvary Ladies Union. This is an opportunity. Whether you belong to Calvary as a member or not, if you want to be in on it, the ladies congregate themselves together, and there's a chosen speaker for the afternoon each and every time. So remember that, 3 o'clock. Next Sunday afternoon, Calvary's Ladies Union. Calvary Ladies Union. And then I do want to mention briefly on the 27th, a Saturday, that will be our outreach. We're going to go back out into the community, invite people to church, tell people about Jesus. I have to tell you this before we move on. So on Thursday morning, excuse me, still got a little cough myself. I was at my favorite gas station in the world, the Grands, up from my house. Sweetwater Church Road and Highway 92. And I was pumping gas. And this has to do with outreach. I just want to let you know. All of a sudden, someone came up to me in a suit and tie and said, "Excuse me, sir, can I give you this?" I was being witnessed to. Okay? And I seen the brochure and I knew exactly who it was and what it was. It was a JW, Jehovah Witness, and it was a Watchtower track. And I said, "No, thank you. That's okay. I'm a pastor. I pastor Calvary Baptist Church at Powder Springs." Keep in mind, I just dropped Lily off at school like 8:15 in the morning. I'm still coming out of my sleep and my dreams I had. And he said, "So I guess you don't want this." I said, "No, no, no." And he said this and he walked off and it made me so upset. He said, "Well, it's good to see that you got faith in a God." And he turned around and walked off before I had any chance to think about it. I walked in that store and I was trying to buy my breakfast and buy some drinks and stuff, and I was just angry. I had to go to the bathroom, get myself under control. The devil walked up to me and said, "Jesus is a God," is what happened on that morning. And so I told you that to say this, it just lit my fire. I had to let it go because the guy's nowhere to be found. I'll probably never see him again. But I wanted to tell him, if I had it to do over and I could remember, I wanted to tell him, John 1:1. And that is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he would say, "No, the Bible says in the Word was a God." And I would say, "No, that's because the founder of your cult wrote that, inserted the letter A before God in John 1:1. And so I had to let it go. But anyway, listen. The Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, all of the cult religions, they are sharing their faith. We need to share our faith. We need to share our faith. And so we're going to be doing that on Saturday. That is April 27th, our outreach. And then baptism, the very next day on Sunday, the 28th. And Miss Jalen and Gracie will be baptizing you too. So very excited about that. Looking forward to that. And just one more thing. A quick look ahead down the road. Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School will be here at Calvary this year. We're not doing a full week. We're doing a 3-day or 2.5-day event. It's going to be July 19th through 21st. That's a Friday, a Saturday, and then a Sunday commencement night. And so remember that. Got a lot of great things going on. And I hope that you will take a bulletin, stay up to date on what's going on, and, you know, come and help out with the outreach, or if you're interested in VBS as well, we could use some help. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen. Yes. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the precious folks that come out, Lord, this morning. They could just have stayed in bed. They could have stayed home. They could have done other things, but they were drawn to come to church. And Lord, we're not just coming together just to have a religious exercise that can, you know, put a little check mark in our conscience, but God, we are coming with hope this morning. We are anticipating something to happen that we might receive a little direction in our life, that we may have our burdens lifted, or at least they be a bit lighter in our lives. God, we're only together for 1 hour on Sunday mornings. And like Jesus told Peter, James, and John, what, could you not watch and pray 1 hour? God, we give you 1 hour this morning, 1 hour. And I pray, Lord, that you'll fill that hour up with your presence, with direction, with promises, with joy, with love and peace. And by the time that we leave, I pray we would be different than the way we came in this place this morning. We love you today. We praise you. We pray for all these requests in our bulletin, and the few that were met, a couple that was mentioned this morning. We love you today. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Church, if you will stand. Choir, if you'll stand with me. This morning I want us to sing a few choruses this morning, I believe, that will bring worship to the Lord. Because do you believe we serve an awesome God? Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe that God is good?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to sing about that this morning. You'll sing it. You'll know it. We're going to start with "God is so good." God is so good. Sing it, church. God is so good. God is so good. So good to you. Do you believe he answers prayer? Sing now. He answers prayer. Do you believe that? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good. How about, do you believe he's coming soon? Sing with me now.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to.
One more time. God is so good. Listen now.
God is so good.
Sing it, church.
God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated, choir. You can be seated as well. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Let me just say, if you're visiting with us today, you are a special guest. We don't just say that. That's more than just words. We truly mean it. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning, realizing you could have gone anywhere.
That's right.
Or you could have stayed home and watched it on Facebook. But we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. We are thankful for the avenue of Facebook. It gives people an opportunity to come and join with us in the service this morning. And we are thankful for that. Choir practices this afternoon. Choir, if you'll just meet me here at 4:30 this afternoon. We'll be ready for the service this evening, 4:30. And then please pray. We're limping a little bit this morning. We're missing some folks. But we're here this morning to worship Him and to praise Him. So you pray for us this morning. Thankful this morning for the opportunity to be able to lift our voice in praise because God's worthy. I also want to ask you this morning, I've been speaking with some folks this week, and we truly need to pray for those that are on foreign soil, that are guarding and taking care of our country, and some dreadful times, I'm afraid, that we might be headed toward. And we really, really need to lift up the leaders of our country in prayer, whether we select them politically and support them politically or not. We have a duty to pray for the leaders of our country. And we need to pray that they make the right choices. And there are, I believe, some things going on that we truly just need to pray for our country about. But do pray for all those that are serving, both here and there. And we just pray the Lord just be with them, strengthen them. But let's go to Him again in a word of prayer this morning. It's great to see you today in the house of the Lord. Father, we love you. We come to you this morning, we want to lift our voice in song and praise you, Lord. Lord, we want to ask you to remove anything that would hinder us today from being able to hear from the Word of God through the man of God. Lord, may the power of God through the Holy Spirit fall on this place today. Lord, you know exactly what is needed. Maybe someone is here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. Maybe this could be the day that they'd realize that, come to know you as the Lord of their life. Lord, again, I pray that you just so fill this place with your presence that when we leave here, we'll be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Now bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. You know all that is needed. And again, Lord, we praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be here at Calvary today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you. You see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed that you love me. Yes, I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed, they're all washed away. Yes, it's true, there've been days when I felt you. And Lord, you know that there's been times this old boy, he's gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness. How about that?
Yeah.
And your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see other friends, they've never been as close to me. You see, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. Yes, I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed, they're all washed away. Oh, are washed away. I'm amazed, oh, that you love me. Yes, I'm amazed, Lord, just how much you care. Through your precious blood, yes, I found pardon. My sins are washed. Oh, washed away, oh, my sin. Are washed, they're all washed away, oh, my sin. Are washed away.
got a special this morning. I asked Lily if she'd prepare this song yesterday. It was on my mind and my heart as I was studying and all. You listen to the words of this. I'm glad that I can't see the future. Are you? Now, there may be some good things, and I'm sure there are in our futures, but there may be some other things in our futures that in our future that we don't like. But He sees the future. He sees what we don't, and He knows the way. So you listen, you pray for Lily as she sings this song. He sees what we don't. Blessing. Glad the Lord is in control. He knows the way. Though hard to do, we just need to let Him lead the way. Easier preached than lived. But we must put it into shoe leather. We must walk by faith. Walk by faith. And what a blessing. What a blessing it is to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You pray for me this morning. I do covet your prayers, as I do each and every time that we meet. And today I want to, this morning and tonight, preach on two animals. Two animals. This morning we're going to talk about foxes. And tonight we're going to talk about oxes. And so I hope you like animals. Anybody animal lovers in here this morning? We got an animal at home. Got an old dash hound dog named Cooper. And boy, he's a mess. He thinks he's the sheriff of the house. And his legs are only about 4 inches tall. And he's about 2 foot long. And we love animals. All right, just trying to get my nerve up this morning to relax and preach a little bit. But again, Brother Ceylon, thank you for covering Wednesday night. And heard it was a great lesson. Great teacher. Great teacher. All right. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to the book of Song of Solomon. If you're not sure where that's at, find Ecclesiastes. Turn to the right. And it's in between Ecclesiastes and Isaiah. Ecclesiastes and Isaiah. Song of Solomon is where we're going to be this morning for a few moments. Song of Solomon. I do want to take a moment to bow for a word of prayer. Then we're going to introduce the subject matter this morning. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time. God, I am totally, totally, Lord, dependent upon you. Lord, we've studied, we have prayed, we have agonized over the message this morning. And so, Father, I trust today that you would bless our efforts, use your word. Holy Spirit, touch the hearts of your people. If there's someone here that does not know you this morning and that is not a child of God, doesn't belong to you, that's not your people, I pray they would get saved. Father, for those that are saved, I pray that they would be challenged this morning and encouraged from the message, Father. We love you today. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Give me a clear head, a calm heart, oh God. And I pray again that you would allow me to connect to the listeners, to those that are here, those watching on Facebook, those listening on the website, Lord, and those passing through Powder Springs that may be listening on the radio, God. Help me. Lord, help me help them. We love you today and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. The writer is in the title of the book, of course, Solomon. This book is called Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. This book is poetical in nature. First word of this book is song. So it's a poetical book. Song of Solomon. Notice it doesn't say song of a fool. It doesn't say song of a fool. And that's for a reason, because Solomon was not a fool. Solomon was known as the wisest man in the Bible. You don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings chapter number 4, verse 32, speaking of Song of Solomon, this book, and speaking of songs, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, that Solomon actually spoke 1,005 songs. In addition to that, he actually spoke and wrote 3,000 proverbs. So this book this morning isn't the song of a fool, but it's the song of a wise man. The song of Solomon, this poetical expert who has written 1,005 songs, 3,000 proverbs, which Solomon also is the writer of the book of Proverbs. Solomon's father, David, was also a songwriter. And of course, David, we know, wrote many of the Psalms. So I guess it had something to do with the family, being in the family. There are many families who has those genes where there is talent and ability. Maybe this was the case with David and his son Solomon. So what's Solomon actually singing about in this book, the Song of Solomon? What's all the singing actually about? It has to do with two things. Him, the bridegroom, but then his bride. We have a love letter before us this morning. He, Solomon, the bridegroom and his bride, Shunammite woman, his beloved. In this song that he writes, he has her parts of speaking here, but also he has his parts of speaking logged here in this book. But outside of that, this being a book that the bridegroom has wrote to his bride and about his bride, this also gives a greater picture. Not just the bridegroom Solomon and his bride, the Shulamite woman, but this gives a picture of Christ and the church. So this is a love letter between Solomon and his bride, but it gives a picture of a love letter from Christ to the church. But also it's a love letter and can bring the picture of Christ to the individual Christian. So the things that are wrote in this book poetically is for you this morning. And the things that are wrote in this book poetically is to me this morning. And it's to the church corporately. And it tells a story of a man that's in love with his bride. Can I say this morning that Jesus Christ is in love with his bride? He is in love with his church. He gave his life for the church. He loves you this morning, individually. You may be here this morning and feel like you're not loved and feel like you're not cared for. And you may be here this morning and may stand in need of prayer, or there may be something going on in your life and you feel like that nobody cares. You're not even on the radar of anybody's dashboard. But can I say, Jesus cares. You're on His radar, on His dashboard. He knows exactly where you're at this morning. So we have a wonderful picture of Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, the bride, and also a picture of Christ and the individual Christian. Now Solomon in chapter number 1 gives a beautiful imagery of relationship. But then, and follow with me, listen along, but then in chapter number 2, he gives this wonderful, beautiful imagery of a vineyard. in early spring. Can anybody tell me what season we're in right now? We're in early spring. We mentioned the pollen. All the coughing, all the pollen, all the yellow. We're in early spring. And so how suitable is this for today, for this moment, while we're going through spring? Chapter number one, there's the beautiful imagery of relationship. Chapter number two, there's the beautiful imagery of a vineyard in early spring. Notice with me in chapter 1 in verse number 6. This is the bride talking. And she's talking about being in the vineyard and working in the vineyard. Listen to this. It says, "Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards." And so here's a woman that is working hard in a vineyard or garden, so to speak. And she says, my mother's children were angry with me. In other words, they put all of the work off on her. She is working in the vineyard, laboring in the vineyard under the sun, has a deep, dark tan. But notice that last part. "But mine own vineyard have I not kept." She says, I had my own vineyard to upkeep, and I was too busy keeping up everybody else's vineyards. I let my vineyard go. So this morning we have this imagery of relationship in chapter number one, and then it begins to transfer over into this beautiful imagery of a vineyard in early spring. Now look in chapter number two in verse number 11. Now this is Solomon. This is the bridegroom talking about his bride. "For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle," meaning turtle dove, "is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." In verse number 11 again, in verse number 12, we see springtime. In verse number 13, we see encouragement to enjoy the journey. The writer is saying, listen, winter is past. The rain is over. Flowers are upon the earth. The birds are singing. The fig tree is putting forth her figs. The vine with the tender grapes have a good smell. Arise, my love, and come away with me. So the writer here is encouraging his bride to enjoy the smells and the sights of spring. And so Solomon wants his bride to enjoy life. This morning, Jesus wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy the smells and the sights of salvation and that which it gives. Jesus wants us to enjoy the smells and sights of peace that He can give, the power He can bestow. He wants us to wake up and smell the flowers. Maybe someone is here this morning and you are living during a time of dread in your life. You are undergoing circumstances that are monumental and you can't smell no flowers this morning. All that you could smell, is trouble. All that you can sense is pain. But can I say through this wonderful book, the Song of Solomon, Solomon is not just talking about his bride, but Christ is talking about his church, and Christ is talking about his people. And no matter how dark or no matter how drear your life may be, he wants you to smell the flowers, enjoy the smells and the sights of salvation and the joy that he can give. Wake up and smell the flowers, church. Wake up and listen to the birds that are singing. They are singing sweet songs of deliverance. What a blessing this morning. I love going out on our patio, our back porch. Y'all forgive me for one second. I didn't have a napkin or handkerchief prepared like my wife has suggested. But I go out there, and every spring, the top right corner ceiling of our overhang on our back porch, the back patio, there's like a little ledge of, we have a pillar, the two pillars on one of the ledges, a bird has built a nest. And after it would build a nest, normally it would abandon the nest later on, and I would just tear down the nest to keep it clean. But this time I kept the nest there. That nest has been there for probably a couple years now. And then birds flying in there and enjoying that nest. And you have some birds that are fighting, flying through the air. And, you know, just a wonderful picture of spring. And I enjoy that. Those birds, they're singing without a care in the world. Building their nest and singing to their Creator. I believe that. You and I this morning, we need to continue to build our nests and sing to the Lord. We need to wake up and smell the flowers of the grace of God that He has showed toward us. We need to hear the birds. When is the last time you really heard the song of a bird and enjoyed it? When was the last time that you have knelt down and smelt the fragrance of a beautiful flower? What a blessing. And so he tells us, the writer does here in verse number 11 and 12 and even 13, he says, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. Come away with me." Jesus is in a love affair this morning with you and your soul. He wants you to come away with Him. We get down to verse number 14. Not only do we see springtime and encouragement to enjoy the journey, but then we see encouragement to leave the darkness. Look at verse 14. "Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Jesus thinks your voice and your countenance is sweet this morning. Notice what he says in verse 14. "Oh, my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock." That dove was in its home. That dove was burrowed in that rock, in the security of its home and nest. And Solomon is likening his bride to a dove, and he's saying, "Bride of mine, I want you to leave that cleft of the rock. I want you to leave that nest." Can I say this morning that Jesus is wanting us to leave our nests, those places of comfortability. He wants us to leave out from underneath the clefts of those rocks, our hiding places where we're fearing dealing with circumstances,
where we don't want to deal with family problems and financial issues. And so we find a little lodging place somewhere safe and sound so we don't have to deal with the cares of the world and feel the reins of the world. Solomon says, bride of mine, I want you to leave the nest. Leave that rock that you're hiding in. Jesus, this morning, He wants us to leave that dark place. He says, oh my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. 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 Have you ever felt down? Have you ever been defeated? He's saying here, you are at the bottom of the stairs. You remember those movies where the man or woman walks up to the door in the house? Opens up the store of the door to the downstairs, and they look. Oh, it's scary down there. There's darkness down there. Solomon says, my love, you're downstairs. I want you upstairs. And this morning, some of you are downstairs, dwelling in the dark, and Jesus wants you upstairs. Do you want to go upstairs this morning? Or do you want to stay downstairs? Do you want to go higher with the Lord this morning? Let Him take you upstairs. And I want to say the way to get upstairs, you watch it? The way to get, a lot of times we want to go from downstairs to upstairs in one leap. I'm done with this. I want to get upstairs. Don't work that way. The way to go from downstairs to upstairs, one step at a time. You are downstairs this morning and you say, oh, I'm so discouraged because of how long it's going to take to get to where I want to be. Listen, don't stay there. Take that first step. Some of you this morning need to do this. You've been doing this for so long. You've been downstairs for so long. And you just cannot imagine yourself upstairs because of the journey. Take that first step. Let me tell you something about imagining things. This time last year, May 6th, next month, will be 1 year that I was 100 pounds heavier. This time last year, throw 100 pounds on me. That's what I weighed this time last year. Okay, so I'm approaching my 1 year anniversary, May 6th, of losing 100 to 105 pounds. Last year, it was hard to imagine me this year. I talked myself out of it so many times. You know, studied my brains out, preached twice on Sunday, preached once on Wednesday. You know, love studying, love preaching, but it does take brains. You know, be there for you, love being there for you. Hospitals, visits, surgeries, prayers. I love that. I'm not complaining. My own personal family matters and things. Lily and her school. And so I just found it impossible to get to where I'm at right now. Can I tell you how that happened? Let me tell you how I got to there to here. Some of you this morning need to do this dance. Huh? Some of you this morning are this way. There is no way I can imagine myself being a better dad, a better husband, a better wife, a better mom. There is no way I can imagine myself moving out of my house and being on my own away from my... There is no way I can imagine that. Listen, it all starts with one step in the right direction. So, who are the cellar dwellers this morning? Who are the cellar dwellers? Who are those this morning that are hiding in the cleft of the rock, not Jesus, but just that comfort zone, that place that's tucked away? Solomon says, "Oh, my dove, fly out of your nest. Come up from the downstairs to the upstairs. Come in the living room where there's a fire in the fireplace, where there's dinner on the stove. Come up here. Let me hug on you and kiss on you." Jesus wants to commune with you this morning. Come upstairs. And so we see that here. He is calling His love to come upstairs, to come out of the dark. He even says, look with me, quarter of the way down, halfway down that verse, says, "Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice." Jesus wants to see your smiling face this morning. He wants to, "Oh, Brother Justin, Jesus don't want to hear from me." Yeah, He does. "Jesus don't want to hear from me." Yes, He does. The devil has told you Jesus don't want to hear from you because all you do is mess up. All you do is drop the ball. You messed up 101,000 times. You can't get it right. He still loves you. He still wants to hear from you. Solomon talks to his bride and says, "I want to hear your voice, my love." Jesus, in relation to the story, says, "I want to hear from you, my love. I don't care how dirty you are. I don't care where you've been. I want to fall on your neck and I want to kiss you." Like the story of the prodigal son. He says, "Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. And thy countenance is comely." Y'all getting that in the back? "Sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." And so we see encouragement to leave the dark, encouragement to enjoy the journey. And we see that this is a springtime setting, which actually gets me to my text verse this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. In verse number 15, He gives a warning and a challenge concerning vineyard responsibilities. Notice verse number 15. "Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." If a vineyard, listen to me, is healthy, it's growing. It has fruit. If a church is growing, if a church is healthy, it's growing, and it will have fruit, either numerically or spiritually or both. If a Christian is growing, he or she will have fruit in their life. Different places in the Bible, listen to this, describe the Christian as a plant or tree. Don't turn there, but in John 15, verse number 5, the Bible says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." In Psalm chapter number 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." And so we are likened to plants and trees. And so the goal is for us as plants and trees is to bear fruit. The goal is to grow. The goal is to mature and yield fruit in our lives and through our lives for the honor and glory of God who saved us and blessed us. And as we are in pursuit of doing that, there is a warning. There's a challenge we are to keep in mind, and that is keeping your eyes on the foxes. There are foxes that are out to get you. They want your fruit this morning. They want to take everything that you have labored and worked hard for in your life. They want to steal it. They want what's sweet in your life. They want what you care about in your life. They want your life. My message this morning is watch out for the foxes. Watch out for the foxes. Again, this is Solomon's love letter to his bride and about his bride, but it's also a love letter from Christ. One who is greater than Solomon to the church and to us as individuals. I want to share a few things this morning concerning this. These foxes were to keep our eyes open for. Don't know how far we're going to get in the message, but we'll go for just a little while. I want to share a few things concerning these foxes we're to watch out for. Number one, we see the disturber. Look in verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Take us the foxes, the little foxes. The little foxes, the foxes are what we call disturbers in life. Disturbers. Now, when it comes to the makeup of the animal, the fox, it must be known that foxes love to feast on things. Foxes have incredible senses of sight, smell, and hearing. Foxes are clever. Foxes will even play dead. In order to attack its prey, it'll play dead. Foxes are cunning. Foxes are crafty. Foxes are mischievous. Foxes are even cute. Huh? Foxes burrow holes in the ground and create foxholes. Solomon says, while you're in the vineyard, don't just take care of everybody else's vineyard, but make sure you take care of your own vineyard. Because there are foxes that want your grapes this morning. You may be here and say, Brother Justin, I take care of everybody. I'm taking care of my family's vineyard. I'm taking care of relatives' vineyards. I'm taking care of the vineyards over here. But I've kind of left my own vineyard unchecked. Bro, Justin, I've allowed, because I'm stretching myself so thin and I'm taking care of everybody, I've allowed some foxes to come into my vineyard and steal some of the grapes and the joy I have in my life. I wonder if anybody has let any foxes in this morning. I mean, it's not that you don't care about your life. It's not that you don't. It's not that you don't want to walk in victory. It's not that you don't want to have the joy of the Lord. It's not that you don't want to fulfill your purpose here. It's just that you're spread and you're stretched so thin, taking care of everybody's vineyard, but you've allowed foxes to come in your vineyard while you're keeping foxes out of other people's vineyards. Let us manage our own vineyards first. Because if we can't keep the foxes out of our own individual vineyards, what good is it keeping foxes out of everybody else's vineyards? Amen? And chances are we won't be able to if we can't keep the foxes out of our own vineyards. We need to show people what it's like to not have a fox in the vineyard. There's two kinds of people here this morning. Those who have vineyards with foxes in them. And then those who have vineyards who have drove out the foxes, and there's beautiful fruit all in your vineyard. Now, you're working hard at it. It's about drove you to the mental ward dealing with it. But you've got some fruit in your vineyard, amen? But there's others here this morning who may not have no fruit in their vineyard, or a lot of their fruit may be stolen from the foxes. in your vineyard. Solomon, Jesus, speaking to us, is telling us that we have some vineyard responsibilities. And that is to keep the foxes out. The things that sneak into our life. The things that at first are cute. Oh, Mom, Dad, it's okay. It's this cute little thing, you know. Oh, Dad, Mom, it's okay. No, they're not that way. Oh, wife, it's okay. You know, there's nothing to it. Oh, husband, this is okay. There's nothing to it. Foxes are crafty. Foxes are mischievous. Foxes are cute. But foxes will steal your fruit. I think this morning we need to put on our gloves, our animal handling gloves, and start catching some foxes. You say, I can't catch no fox. I beg to differ. Can I tell you, to those who say this morning, I can't catch a fox, can I tell you there's a man in the Bible named Samson who caught, listen to me, he caught 300 foxes. And you're telling me you can't catch one? I'm telling you, yes, you can. Samson caught 300 foxes. How in the world? I don't know. I do know by the power of God. And he tied their tails together. He grabbed two foxes. I'm sure they were scratching and clawing and biting at them. He tied their tails together, put a torch in the middle, lit it, and sent it off into the community, the city, for the enemy. If you want to catch a fox, you can catch a fox. You can't catch a fox by your ability, but you can catch a fox by God's ability. It all boils down to how bad you want that old pesky, mischievous, cunning, crafty fox out of your life. How bad do you want it gone? Yesterday we were hanging out at the house. Me and Christy and Lily and Tyler having a good time. Excuse me. And I'm so proud of Tyler. We were talking about verses in the Bible. And he said, Justin, I don't know a whole lot. I can't quote a lot of verses, but I quote John 3:16. But then he said, I could quote Philippians 4:13. Normally, some say I could quote John 3:16, but he threw another one on me. Can anybody tell me what Philippians 4:13 says, Ms. Yvonne? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm so proud of him that he quoted not just one but two verses. And this morning you're saying, Brother Justin, I can't kick the addiction of alcohol. I can't kick the addiction of drugs. And I can't kick the addiction of lust. And I can't kick the addiction of just overspending. I can't kick this trouble out of my life. Brother Justin, there's drama in my family and everybody's fighting against one another and there's no way that I can overcome this and work it out. You may not be able to catch all the foxes, but God wants you to at least start with one fox. Catch one fox and then go to the next fox and go to the next fox. And before you know it, you are a professional fox catcher. And you're going to start seeing grapes and fruit pop up in your life because you're driving the foxes out. This morning we have the disturber, the foxes. Let us beware of the little foxes that can creep into our lives that want to hinder or hurt what God is doing. There's the little fox of pride. There's the little fox of jealousy. There's the little fox of deceit. There's the little fox of gossip. There's all kinds of little foxes that are in this world trying to creep in your vineyard to steal your fruit. Amen. Question is, are you going to assume vineyard responsibilities this morning? Don't turn there, but Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Bible says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. leaven causes dough to rise. And Paul is saying there in Galatians that little things can become big things. Little things can become big things. It can disturb what God is doing in our lives. So number one, there's the disturber. The disturber. Talking about watching out for the foxes. But number two, there's the description. Notice with me verse 15 again. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Notice the word spoil there. That word spoil means to wind tightly, to bind, to corrupt, to destroy. And he says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For, are you hearing me? For our vines have tender grapes. So that tells me that the foxes are after the vines that bear the grapes. Listen, if the devil can get to your vine, he has your fruit. If the devil can get to the vine, if these little vices and foxes can get to your vine, can get in your vineyard, it's no time before he'll have your fruit. If foxes can get to the vines, they got the fruit. So he tells us to protect our vines because they bear the fruit. These foxes, they gnaw and they bite at these vines. They dig at the ground. They burrow. They try to get these vines. They chew on them. And when they chew on them, they infect the vines with their diseased and infected system. Foxes are diseased. All it has to do is bite into the vine and the vine's dead. And so this morning the takeaway is, if we're not careful, we can allow little foxes to eat away at things in our lives that will spoil the good things that God has done, is doing now. The disease of sin and its infection can destroy the beautiful fruit displayed in our lives. And many times it starts at the roots in our lives. Many times these foxes, they won't just stand up on their back feet and get a grape. Maybe a little too high. So if they can get down here, they might be able to drop a grape. They may infect the vine, or they may just stand up and eat the grape off the vine. There are things that come into all of our lives that try to shake the fruit out of our lives. Who is it this morning in your life? It's trying to shake the fruit out of your life. What situation this morning in your life is trying to shake the fruit out of your life? What is it? Is it unanswered prayer? Is it unconfessed sin? Is it someone, a person? Is it a place, a thing? If we're not careful, we can allow people, places, or things, foxes, to try to shake the fruit out of our lives. And so we see here the description. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. These foxes are after the grapes. They get to the vines. They gnaw, they bite. They do all that they can to get and eat and destroy the beautiful display of fruit that's in our life. These foxes are clever. They're crafty. They feast at night, and when no one is around, many times things come into our lives under the radar when we're unaware that trouble us and can hinder us in our whole walk with God. Let me mention one more and we're done. Not only when it comes to watch out for the foxes, we see the disturber. We see the description. Then lastly, we see the duty. Look at those first two words in verse 15. Take us. Take us. It means to seize. It means to hold. It means to fasten. Whatever is going on in your life that is stealing your joy, there is a command of God this morning to take hold of it. Seize it. Fasten to it. Take us, the little foxes. And again, when Samson caught all those foxes, I'm sure he had scratches all over his arms. Imagine catching any animal. I can remember growing up, we had hamsters and little critters. And I went in there one time, I pet one of them things, and they had like on the bottom, their teeth about half inch long, on top about a half inch long, they were bright yellow, bright orange, and would chomp on my finger. I mean, want to grab that thing and throw it out the window. Oh, crazy little thing. So I didn't throw them out the window. I just didn't mess with them anymore. And we lived in Mississippi at the time on one of these occasions. And the night before we moved, it was my brother's hamster. I woke up. I grabbed the hamster out of the cage, opened up the window. We lived in apartments, and I set him free. I set him free. That hamster's gone. But it left a mark. And listen, this message is really piggybacking on my message tonight about the oxes. Things get messy in life when we go to catch foxes. You may have a grip on something in your life. It may be a loose grip, but you may have a grip on it. But that thing's moving around this morning. I mean, you want to put that fox to sleep. But it's moving, it's moving. You're doing all you can to handle that fox this morning. When we give an invitation, why don't you come and put that thing to sleep? And listen, I know, God knows that I know, and He knows some things take time to put to sleep. They take time. But on that same token, there's no time like the present time to attempt to put something to sleep. You just say, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of this world, the flesh and the devil stealing my joy. I'm so tired of people on Facebook saying things. I'm so tired of people at school saying things. I'm so tired of me thinking negative all the time. I'm getting ready to put some things to sleep. Would you put some things to sleep this morning? Put them to sleep. Put them to death. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We've done our best. I pray that if there's someone here that is struggling with some foxes, Lord, some foxes, I pray this morning that they wouldn't think about how far they got to go for things to get better, but like how Solomon's bride was, the thought was that he was at the bottom of the stairs. Lord, it takes one step at a time to get to the top of the stairs. Help us give You some things this morning, Lord, with the knowledge that You can change anything. You can. But also we know that it may take time, and so we present these things to You this morning that bother us, and we take one step at a time, Father. I pray that You'll give liberty during this time of invitation to do so. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.